This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. A big weekend of storylines. I wanted to get to those games and some of the storylines attached to them as the final segment of the podcast today, but some stories off the top today. I want to give you the latest on the Bombers' mind games ahead of Anzac Day with their selection. I want to discuss the COVID quirk now. That's actually a relative advantage for some of the Victorian and New South Wales teams, at least for the moment, in terms of close contacts. And there's a Melbourne twist in all that. I'll discuss that. I want to discuss this top secret paper, which I reported on this week, that only the AFL presidents can access. I'll sort of try and give you the inside word on that. And also want to throw up a left field candidate for Gil McLaughlin's job, but I at least think she'll be in the frame and the discussion. But I'll kick off with the Bombers. So much pressure on their performance and how they go on Monday. They've thrown up a curveball at selection last night in an extended squad. They named Jake Stringer and Zach Merritt. The club's official position to me, or fairly official when I spoke to them on Monday, is that Stringer wouldn't be ready for Anzac Day, but they've named Stringer as well as Merritt in the extended squad. They'll train tomorrow, the Bombers, and the idea, I've spoken to them, is they want to give both players every chance. They'd be mad not to name them, and they're both progressing well, according to the club. So that tomorrow, obviously, is going to be the test. They'll name the final side tomorrow night. But Stringer last played in round three, had a hamstring injury. We've seen Cripps return from a hamstring injury in about 10 days or so. Patrick Cripps named for the Blues this weekend. So it can happen depending on the grade, but you'd think the Stringer is in significant doubt. In even more doubt is Zach Merritt. Had a syndesmosis injury in round two, had surgery on that. Sam Walsh from the Blues is sort of the yardstick on syndesmosis at the moment. He did that around the 14th of February and played round two against the Bulldogs on the 24th of March or so. So that was about 6 weeks. So Zach Merritt would be beating the current clubhouse leader, Sam Walsh, for the syndesmosis recovery by about 2 weeks, or at least a week and a half, if he played on Monday. I dare say that won't happen, but good luck to the Bombers. I'll discuss some of the storylines surrounding them, as I mentioned, in the final segment of today's podcast.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
There's a COVID quirk now that's a bit of an advantage, at least for the moment, for the Victorian and New South Wales clubs. The AFL won't relax the vaccination rules. I spoke to them about that yesterday. So Liam Jones, who retired because he didn't want to get vaccinated from the Blues, is a very talented defender, can't return. He could apply as a delisted free agent for the draft at the end of the year if they relax the vaccination rules, but they haven't done that critically yet, the AFL. The government, state governments, relax the close contact rules, and that applies to the Victorian teams. The Victorian teams and New South Wales teams governed by the state legislation concerning the close contact. So at the moment, that's an advantage for those teams because if you're a close contact, you, in theory, under the rules as of tonight at midnight, can play. Now, that would apply to Viney and Lever. That's Jack Viney and Jake Lever, who won't play for the Demons this weekend due to health and safety protocols. My understanding is that technically they could play this weekend under the revised rules, but given they've been close contacts and haven't trained in recent days, my information from the Demons says they'll probably be, well, they will be given a rest this weekend and they'll just continue to comply with the what are really now the old health and safety close contact rules. So it's a bit of a quirk. Lever and Viney could play, but I don't think they will, and they haven't been named this weekend. But that's an interesting one to keep an eye on because obviously all the states and the players in the other states have to comply at the moment with those close contact provisions, which you expect in the next couple of weeks or months will be amended. But it's a bit of a quirk in the COVID rules at the moment. There was some discussion from that from the coaches. Damien Hardwick's got his wish. The close contacts at the moment, as of tonight, obviously don't have to isolate and can play in New South Wales and Victoria.
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Hear it first on Listener.
A left field one. I'm impartial to an interesting story from AFL House. I like the governance of the game and questions surrounding that. The AFL Commission organised an independent report into the Commission and the governance of the Commission that Richard Goyder, the Commission Chairman, agreed to, I think about 18 months ago or a couple of years ago. That report has been completed and its contents remain a bit of a mystery. The clubs don't get a copy of that report, but what can happen is that presidents, and I think Jeff Kennett's been at AFL House and already inspected it, they can go in and take notes from this top secret report. They can't copy it. They can't take a copy home, but under the AFL sort of guidance or watch, they can go in and take notes of this governance report. So it's a bit of a quirky one. I think several presidents at the moment taking up the AFL on that offer and going to AFL House, which is actually under construction still at the moment. It's mainly a construction zone, but you can go in there if you're a president and take notes on this report. I don't think there's anything particularly contentious in the report. It's obviously on the governance, which can sound a bit dry, but it's in terms of who can nominate for the commission, what sort of job is the commission's doing, what sort of representation it gives clubs. There was a broader discussion a couple of years ago about doing a review of the AFL. This was sort of organised in the context of that. I know a couple of clubs are not insistent, but think there's a lack of footy experience on the commission. But at the moment, there's a top secret report. The club presidents can go in with their handwritten, with a, obviously pen and paper, a pad, and take notes on this report. They can't copy it, but they can take notes.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News, and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A good left field candidate for Gil McLachlan's job that I think recruiters should at least look at is the Geelong president, Craig Drummond. He was the CEO of Medibank Private for 5 years. He was the CEO and Australia head of Merrill Lynch, which is a big investment bank. He's got a finance research background. He's been on the Geelong board in terms of footy experience since 2011. He's 59, so whether or not he'd want to take up a full-time executive role at his age, I would paraphrase and hazard a guess that he's been very successful, so perhaps wouldn't need to do, or certainly wouldn't need to do Gil's job, but he'd be a good one for them to look at because he's got valuable club and footy experience. He's a club president, so obviously that would be a bit of a complicating factor in terms of he'd have to step away from that. But certainly as the CEO of Medibank Private for 5 years, he's the sort of guy that's got, that's got footy experience and heavy, serious commerce experience that would be a good left field person for them to look at. I am still of the view that Travis Old and Andrew Dillon are the two leading candidates now for that role. Andrew Dillon in particular, he's got a huge encyclopedic reference of AFL rules. He's been there for the best part of 20 years. I think he's certainly a leading candidate, but that's obviously all playing out behind the scenes. In terms of some of the big storylines from this weekend, I want to finish on this today and just talk about some pure footy. I mean, we talk about storylines. The Giants are trying to avoid going 1-5 in Canberra. There's what, you know, we talk about their reliance on Toby Green. I know Wayne Carey's written about that in The Age today. Green's first game back. So it's going to be intriguing to see how they go up against St Kilda, who are going really, really well at the minute. Tomorrow, in Adelaide, Port, of course, trying to go 0-6 against West Coast. Wines back from his heart scare, which is a big boost for Wines and a big boost for Port Adelaide. A good test for the Blues tomorrow against Fremantle. Chera versus Brayshaw over in Perth. That's a good test. There's been lots of talk regarding the Blues fade-outs and the like against Hawthorn and again last week, but they're 4-1. They're going well, Carlton. And then the big one for mine, and of course has been the big discussion point this week, Essendon trying to avoid going 1-5 against Collingwood on Anzac Day. Collingwood have had three consecutive losses themselves. Craig McRae spoke last week about he's not that interested in honourable losses, but Matthew Lloyd has overnight said again that the midfield, the Bombers midfield, lacks honesty. That's his view. Well, if they want to prove otherwise, Monday's a good opportunity. They're already throwing some curveballs up and some gamesmanship and brinksmanship concerning selection with those mind games. That's how I describe them ahead of Monday. Whether Stringer plays or not, I guess we'll find out on Monday. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. Don't miss Triple M footy across the course of the weekend. It all starts tonight, Friday night footy in Canberra, the St Kilda Footy Club and the Giants. Such an important game in particular for GWS. I'm joining the Sunday Rub, which I'm looking forward to just for the day on Sunday. Can't wait for that. It's going to be a magnificent weekend of footy. Triple M racks football. Thanks for joining our podcast.
That was Tom Brown's News. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.